along with my myself and the others at the Institute, and the Dr. Jones over at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History, and Mike and Christopher over at USDA Worcester, USDA ARS Worcester, were integral part of this work. David Tree remains one of the largest federal invasive species contractor as far as invasive species concerned. We do annually over 500,000 trees, and that's in some counts a lower estimate. With emerald ash borer, other borer species, two of the AIs we use are the commercial level imidacloprid and dinotifera or Meriton Safari. And based on client customer questions, there's been a trend now for a migration from single tree protection to woodlot protection. So we have people who may have 30, 40 ash trees on their premises and they want it protected. So questions began arising. I had people calling me across the country and asking me questions like, am I going to see an impact on my squirrel population? Am I going to see impact on my avian or the birds that visit my trees? And I'm like, well, you should not. But we need to have some sort of data to back up my position. And this is what started the process. The five treatments and the trial, where the trial was conceived, were control imidacloprid, dinotifuran, or Safari. T4 was Safari and Pentrobark, which in 2006 was a very novel approach. It involved spraying a product in the lower part of the tree and on the bark, on the tree bark, in the hope that the product would migrate into the tree. So you eliminate the theory here was that you would eliminate passageway of the product through the soil, and you don't trunk inject or harm the tree. And then of course that T5 was just fertilized tree. A lot of clients just want trees fertilized with a polymerized fertilizer, and that's your T5. And I wanted to see, is there an impact to this polymerized product on tree on the species I would interact with the trees, with the ash complex. Two sites were chosen, about 50 miles, and don't quote me on that 50 miles, I have yet to map quest it and confirm that, in Northwest Ohio. Both sites were in natural wooded areas, and natural in this context is defined by any wooded lot that is not managed, in terms of no products were applied there, no vegetation management, tree pruning, etc. were conducted, and there was immense EAB pressure around. And this is layout of where the sites were. First site, Sisters of St. Francis, northwest of Toledo, Sylvania, and then Finley Country Club. Second site, south of Bowling Green, just off of 75. So two sites relatively off major interstate travel were chosen. If you look at the Finley site, near possibly the Finley River here, and it abuts. It sits on slight sloping. You don't get an appreciation for the canopy cover here because it was taken recently when the ash leaves came down. But that's a woodlot area here. And the average DBH you ran with ash trees here were pretty large trees, 48 to 64 inches. One tree in the design was a replicate, and the trees, because of the systemic nature of the products, were 20 to 30 feet apart. So five treatments were conducted and six reps. I would have loved to go with more reps, but I was limited in, you know, with the distances between trees. Sisters of St. Francis, same setup. Smaller trees here, 34 to 52 inch DBH. Sampling methods. We did seven dates between 2006 and 2008. And the vertebrates sampled were avian and squirrel. And they were sampled via stationary point visual surveys, which are established as some of the more reliable ways of counting and assessing avian and squirrel populations. The observation windows were split into three 20-minute sessions per replicate. And the spotter was either dressed in camo or in a hide at all times. Soil sampling methods involved trap boards. About four boards were placed at the basal area of the ash trees, and then soil cores were also taken. Canopy sampling was done via trap set up in the upper branches, mid canopy, Four traps were set up, east, west, north, south. Same thing, canopy beats were conducted with a climber on the tree, rigged to the uppermost branches of the tree, and he would swing out four ways on that mid-canopy. So the sampling was restricted to mid-canopy, because ash tree, as you know, gets brittle with infestation. I didn't want to get a client, a climber higher than where he should be, in the case of the control trees, as you would see. So results, total avian species. There was no significant variation between species diversity in any of the treatments. However, there were, if you look at downy woodpecker, which I kind of zeroed in on because they are a nice indicator of when you're working with ash and this complex, they are a nice thing to look at. When you look at the control, they occurred in control and safari plus pentra bag as a trunk treatment, and they occurred in the merit soil dredge. That's six here, the overlap. In the two sites when pooled, so there is definitely some sort of something happening there. This is a preliminary look. We are still looking at the information as it's coming for each one of the avian species. We did get a total of 12 avian species on both woodlots. I think there was one species that occurred on one and not the other, and that was a tree sparrow number 10. In terms of the abundance, it was no significant variation in any of the treatments, and species range from the fertilized tree of only three species to about eight in the merit soil soil injection. So here we had the merit soil injected trees were actually, it didn't seem to affect the number of species that would sit on a tree. And then when we looked at avian perching times or mean avian perching times, again, there was no significant variation at either site between treatments. Sampling visits in terms of over the period 2006-2008, again, no variation between sites. They pretty much ran on schedule. Squirrel foraging times were not significantly different between treatments. We had a slight dip in the sister site here, but it was not significant between safari and pentrobark. Squirrel activity, pretty homogenous between sites. We did have one point here in the second sampling date where it peaked at the Finley, and that could have been at the sisters, maybe some human interaction kept the squirrel, or for some reason the population wasn't as active. Invertebrate species from those trap systems, the soil were pooled for the soils, and if you look at the distance from the zero point, Finley had a higher species diversity than the sisters site, than the and that could be attributed, I'm not 100% sure, to the water body that's nearby, that obvious river. Thank you. So again, when we looked at the canopy, there were no significant variation between treatments. Again, that Finley site had a higher species diversity. Two of these species were collected from the entire tree continuum in this exercise. Unfortunately, one was emerald ash borer. Didn't want it, but it was there. In the tree continuum, I selected spider. Spider populations are a good indicator of environmental health. And the only significant point I got at both sites, was the safari and pentrobark treatment, or that trunk treatment. There was a significantly reduced number of spiders at both sites. Everything else was within norm. So emerald ash borer did occur at both sites. The untreated trees, T1, were 100% taken. Some of them are on the ground as we speak, and Kamal will tell you more about that when she talks about her woody debris later on. And then you had, of course, well, with the safari and pentrobark soil drenches, you had total protection, 100% protection at both sites. The safari and pentrobark was around 60-70% protection. The fertilized trees they were close to 90 to 100% infested. So take home messages. While these products may offer us for now some ecologically viable solutions, no product is totally immune from impact. And until natural forces kick in, and I was talking to Julie about the biocontrol agents, your chances, if you have a woodlot in emerald ash borer infested site, of protecting that site are about equal as saving this cake. Thank you. I'd like to thank Dr. Fossey over at the Valen Corp for funding part of the work here, Sister Jeremiah, a wonderful nun over at Sisters of St. Francis, Ohio, who accommodated me throughout, Chris over at Finley Golf Course, and Scott Kirby. Thank you. All right, on time. Questions? Good.